You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin's state Senate is up for grabs. We'll find out which parts of the state could tip the balance. Now we're officially in the home stretch of this year's midterms. That means after months of campaigning, it's almost time for voters to decide. Some voters have already decided, sending in their ballots by mail or with in-person early voting. And with Election Day just 6 days away, we thought it'd be a good time to break down what you need to know about early voting. We've had some questions from you. Megan Wolf is the administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, people might be out there thinking, oh, it's less than a week to Election Day. I wonder if it's too late to vote early. Is it?
It is not. There's actually still two ways that you can vote by absentee ballot here in the state of Wisconsin. The first is in person in your municipal clerk's office. And in some communities, that goes until this coming Sunday. And the other way is to request an absentee ballot be sent to you by mail or by email.
So let's take those one at a time. If somebody wants to do in-person early voting, first, where do they go to find out where they go?
Yeah, so actually the hours and the dates for in-person absentee are up to each city, town, and village clerk in Wisconsin. And so we have 1,853 of those cities, towns, and villages, and each of them set their own hours. But a really good place to start is at our myvote.wi.gov website, and that's where you can go to find all the information about voting, including how to find your municipal clerk's contact information so that you can give them a call or send them an email to find out when absentee voting is happening in person in your community.
So I figured that out. I know where I need to go. I know when the office is open. What do I need to go in and cast my vote? Is it just like if I showed up in person?
Sure. So first of all, you need to be registered to vote before you can cast an absentee ballot.
Okay.
So if you're already registered to vote, let's say you've registered to vote and your name or your address has not changed, then you can go to your clerk's office to cast that absentee ballot. And all you need to bring with you is your photo ID. And a reminder, if you're already registered and you're showing that photo ID to get your ballot, that ID does not need to have a current address on it. But you do need to bring that with you. If you need to register to vote, you can still register to vote in person in your municipal clerk's office through this coming Friday. And when you register to vote, you're going to need to bring something with you that shows your current address. And this is called a proof of residence document. It can be something like a utility bill, or it could be that same photo ID if it does have your current address on it.
And what if I don't know if I'm registered to vote? It's been a while.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you can also go to myvote.wi.gov and you can check your registration status. You can enter in your information and you can see if you're currently registered and if that information is up to date.
And now let's get to that absentee ballot. I want to get it. I want to mail it in. Do I have time to get it and send it off in time for it to be counted at this point?
We're getting pretty darn close to kind of that deadline. So the U.S. Postal Service does say that you need about a week to be able to return that ballot. So if you were to make your request to your municipal clerk today to get that ballot by mail, you would probably get that in the next few days, maybe this week, but it's cutting it pretty close. You could receive your ballot by email, actually. Some communities, you can get your ballot by email, but you still need to mail or hand deliver that ballot back to your clerk by Election Day. There is no late return of ballots, so all ballots must be received by your municipal clerk no later than 8 p.m. on Election Day to be counted.
And let's talk about military voting. There are some rules for how people in the military who are overseas, for example, get their ballots and how they get it back. What goes on for them?
Yeah, so for our military voters here in the state of Wisconsin, they can actually request an absentee ballot be emailed to them, or they can even receive their ballot online. And they can actually do that through Election Day. But again, for all voters in the state of Wisconsin, you must mail back that actual paper ballot. You cannot return your ballot electronically. But we do have some safeguards in place and some additional efficiencies to make sure that those that are serving us overseas are able to receive their ballot in a timely manner.
Talking to Megan Wolf from the Wisconsin Elections Commission about some of the basics of early voting in person or by mail. And we've had questions from listeners, Megan, about, okay, I cast my vote early. Who counts it? Does it get counted at the place where I went to file it? Does it get counted at the polling station? What happens then with that ballot?
Sure. So whether or not you cast your absentee ballot in person in your municipal clerk's office, or if you receive it by mail and mail it back, you're going to place your voted ballot inside of a certificate envelope. And on that envelope, you're going to sign certifying that you are the voter and that you're the one that cast the ballot. And then you're also going to have a witness that signs that ballot. That ballot is then going to be kept stored secure until election day once the clerk receives it. And then those ballots are sent to your particular polling place. So the polling place assigned to you based on your address. Your ballot is going to go to the polls on election day, and your name and address is actually going to be announced, and then that ballot is going to be tabulated along with the others at your reporting unit on election day.
I know some people expressed concern. I think it was back in 2016 on the general election day. How do you know if your ballot is there a way for you to check and make sure your ballot made it to your polling station and got counted?
Yeah, there actually is. So also on that myvote.wi.gov website, you can actually track your absentee ballot. So if you requested a ballot from your clerk's office and you're waiting to see if it's on its way to you, you can check to see the status of it. And if you returned your ballot and you're waiting to see if it was actually received by your clerk, you can also see that tracking on the MyVote site as well. And then ultimately, it will tell you if your ballot was counted on election day.
Now, what are we seeing so far when it comes to early voting in Wisconsin, whether by mail or in person?
Sure. So there have been about 437,000 absentee ballots that have been issued either in person or by mail for this coming November 6th general election. And of those ballots, about 377,000 have actually been returned and will be sent to the polling places to be counted on election day.
That sounds like a big number. How does it stack up to other elections?
It is higher than other years. It seems like every year more and more folks are choosing the absentee route. And we're also expecting to see potentially a little bit higher turnout overall in this upcoming November general election.
That's as compared to other midterms, maybe not as high as, say, a presidential election year, I imagine.
That's correct. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we always have fairly high turnout as it relates to the other states, and we expect for this midterm it to be fairly high as we've seen in the past.
Let's talk for our last couple of minutes to the people who want to vote on Election Day, because there's still a lot of them out there. We have voter ID in place, registration. We can register, I think, at the polls. Talk us through what we need to know about Election Day registration and voting.
Sure. So if you are going to the polls on Election Day, the first thing you need to know is, of course, when are those polls open? So the polls open at 7 a.m. and they close at 8 p.m. And you are assigned a polling place based on your address. So sometimes people call and say, hey, there's a polling place right by my house. That may not be your polling place. So make sure you check out the MyVote Wisconsin website first so that you know where your polling place is. And then as you're headed to your polling place, make sure that you have a couple of things with you. If your name or address has changed, or if you're a first-time voter here in the state of Wisconsin, or you're new to Wisconsin, make sure you bring your proof of residence documents, utility bill, or something with your name and your address on it so you can register to vote. And then bring your acceptable form of photo ID. And that can be something like a Wisconsin driver license or a state ID. And again, that photo ID to get a ballot does not need your current address.
And for people who are at the polls and they forgot one piece of the puzzle here, what do we have when it comes to provisional ballots?
Sure. So one other thing I should mention for that proof of residence document, you can actually show that electronically. So let's say you get to your polls and you forgot to bring your utility bill. You could log into your utility account on your phone and actually show that as proof of residence on your phone as well. In terms of provisional ballots, there's really only one situation here in Wisconsin where you can receive a provisional ballot. And that is if you do not have or did not bring your acceptable photo ID. You will then be issued what's called a provisional ballot, which means that you have through the Friday after the election to provide your municipal clerk with that acceptable photo ID, and your ballot will still be counted.
In theory, the elections will already have been called by the AP and whatnot by then, but the official count would still include those ballots.
And that's a really important thing to keep in mind. The election results on election night are unofficial. Results actually go through three steps before they're certified and they're actually official. So your municipal board of canvass, they're going to take a look at those results and certify them, as is the county. And then we at the state also certify those results. And that doesn't happen until the beginning of December when those results are certified.
Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Megan Wolf, administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. She was with us to talk about what you need to know if you're an early voter ahead of next Tuesday's election. You can join us, by the way, on election night here on Wisconsin Public Radio for those unofficial, uncertified results as they come in, plus analysis here in Wisconsin and around the country. Coming up, the WPR News Department takes an in-depth look at races for seats, key seats, in the Wisconsin State Senate. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at the battle for the state Senate in next week's elections. Right now, it's time for a Wisconsin Life sequel. Here's producer Steve Gotcher.
Previously on Wisconsin Life, Mia Noel and her friends travel to northern Wisconsin to explore the Lake Superior ice caves. That night, they enjoy an evening of food, drink, and conversation into the wee hours. Long after everyone has gone to sleep, Mia wakes to the call of nature. As she moves through the quiet cabin, she makes a frightening discovery.
On the wall between the bathroom and the kitchen is a bloody handprint. Ha! That wasn't there before. Pretty sure. That wasn't there. That wasn't there when we were making dinner. Wasn't there when we were drinking last night. Just bloody handprint there. Maybe somebody's pulling like a prank, because I've been very clear and open about my distrust of the woods and cabins and small towns and all of everywhere we are. So I'm very clear about it, right? So I'm like, maybe somebody's like pulling a prank, and I'm like, that's not funny, but okay. I'm gonna get my water. So I go to the kitchen and there's more blood. There's a lot of it. There's blood on the faucet, there's blood on the handles, and I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of blood. And even worse than all the blood that's everywhere, there's a bloody knife, and I'm like, okay, it's real, this is go time. I've been practicing Criminal Minds, right? Like, I'm ready. and I like spin around, and there's more bloody handprints, and I'm like, whoa, boy, okay. So I'm like, what do we do? Every scenario I can think of involves a murderer. There's a murderer outside, there's a murderer in the house, there's a murderer. It's so real. I didn't drive here, I can't leave, I can't go exploring, because that's what people do when then they die. I can't leave, because there's no neighbor for miles, and I'm like, oh God. All right, so what I do is I grab a really big knife, and I'm like, I'm gonna barricade myself in my room. That's it, that's all I got. And so I'm in my room, and I'm like shivering under a blanket, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make it. And I'm waiting, and I'm not sure what I'm waiting for, but I'm waiting, and then I fall asleep. And I wake up, and people are talking outside. And I'm like, let me listen. Maybe it's the murderers talking about how they're gonna eat me next. But you know, so I listen, and it's my friends, and I come out, and I'm like, hey guys, you all seem to be not dead. And there's no blood anywhere, and I'm like, did I dream that? And they're all like happy, and I find out one of the people that I did not know is a sleepwalker. And they woke up in the middle of the night, went to the kitchen, cut some fruit, because that's what occurred to them in their sleep dream, cut themselves in the hand, and then walked back to their bedroom, leaving bloody handprints all over this cabin. And then their partner woke up and was like, what the hell happened? And they cleaned up, and that was it. And in all of my murder fantasy things that were happening, that is not one scenario I thought of.
Mia Noel's story comes to us from Exfabula, a storytelling organization in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Steve Gotcher.
Now, Wisconsin's next governor will set the agenda for state government, but how much he's able to accomplish will depend in large part on who controls the state legislature. Republicans currently control both houses of the legislature, but Democrats would need to flip just two seats to win control of the state Senate. That's put a spotlight on a handful of competitive Senate races around Wisconsin. We'll hear reports on three of them, the first from Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson.
Wisconsin's 17th state Senate district includes parts of nine counties in southwest Wisconsin. But even people who don't live there might have been hearing about the candidates on TV.
I'm Howard Markline. I'm proud to have kept my word to look after your tax dollars.
Money has flowed into this race, both from outside groups and the candidates. Spring Green Republican Senator Howard Markline's campaign alone has spent more than $800,000 this year. Markline's pitch to voters is about money.
They may not agree with me on every issue, but they know I'm watching the checkbook.
Markline was first elected to the Senate in 2014 and served 4 years in the state assembly before that. He's a certified public accountant and a member of the legislature's budget committee, where he helped identify more than $1 billion in financial reserves at the University of Wisconsin system. The legislature has frozen tuition for in-state students every year since.
I can tell you that every student at UW-Platteville today is saving $2,500 because of the work that I did finding that those cash balances back in 2013. We haven't had a tuition increase since that time.
Markline says he'd like to spend more on rural roads. And then when it comes to road funding, quote, everything is on the table, including possibly raising the gas tax. He voted to increase funding for schools last year, but won't promise it again next year until he sees the rest of the budget.
Hi, I'm Chris Marion.
Hi, I'm Brenda.
I'm running for state senate this year.
Okay.
Markline's opponent, Democrat Chris Marion, runs a small farm and a bed and breakfast in Blanchardville. She got to know state politics when she pushed for a law and then a lawsuit to allow for the sale of home-baked goods in Wisconsin. As she meets with voters in Monroe, Marion blames Markline for the poor state of roads.
Do you know anything about Markline?
Nope.
He's been in for 8 years, four budgets. He's on the Joint Finance Committee and the Transportation Committee, and I hold him responsible for these roads.
Marion says Markline hurt schools when he cut education funding in earlier budgets. She also faults him for supporting Wisconsin's Foxconn bill.
I mean, you can't knock on a door or sit next to someone at a bar or, you know, even stop to fill gas up in a van that says Chris Marion on it without somebody talking to you about Foxconn. It's incredibly unpopular out here.
Despite the Senate district's Republican lean, it's been competitive in other races. President Obama won here by 14 percentage points. Marion realizes a race like hers could decide the Senate. She says a balanced legislature would go a long way toward better discussions in state government. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Patty Murray. The race for the 19th state Senate district could affect control of state government, but a local issue has been front and center here, including at a recent forum.
Welcome to this candidates forum. It's co-sponsored.
The Fox Valley district is in papermaking country, or at least it used to be. Several mills have closed, and Kimberly Clark has said it may shut down its Cold Spring plant that employs 500 people. Appleton Republican State Senator Roger Roth sponsored a bill that would offer more than $100 million in state tax credits to the company to keep it open. Roth says the entire region would benefit.
It will be a boom for Northeast Wisconsin in every job up and down that supply chain.
But the bill went nowhere in the Senate. Roth's Democratic opponent, Lee Snodgrass of Appleton, blamed Roth for its failure, saying he should have involved both parties in finding a solution.
Certainly we don't want to see them leave, but it's difficult when we have a profitable corporation who we're offering tax incentives to.
Roth, the nephew of former U.S. Representative Toby Roth, says he'll try for a vote on the bill during an extraordinary session after the election. He says it's important to get the Kimberly-Clark deal right.
They've been part of this community for 150 years, and that's why it's so important that we do what we can to keep them here. You can recognize...
Snodgrass says she worked in a mill while in college. She's now a director of communications for the Girl Scouts in parts of Wisconsin and Michigan. She questioned why Roth didn't bring this bill up before the election.
We all could have had an answer last March. Right now, that has just left people hanging. So that uncertainty has already left a number of people to leave that facility.
Roth won his first race in 2014 by almost 15%. Percentage points, but there are reasons Democrats are competing here. President Trump won this district by just 7 points, and President Obama drew even here in his last election. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Patty Murray.
And I'm Ximena Condi. By most measures, Wisconsin's 5th state Senate district in southeast Wisconsin is a Republican stronghold. Mitt Romney won the district by double digits in 2012. So did Governor Scott Walker in 2014. But President Donald Trump's struggles with traditionally Republican suburban voters were evident here in 2016. Trump won this district by just one percentage point, giving Democrats a potential opening. At a recent forum between the candidates for this state Senate seat, most of the discussion focused on state issues.
Not every school that takes vouchers is bad, but the reality is that too many of them are.
That's Democrat Julie Hensy of Wauwatosa. She's a corporate trainer, outdoor adventure coach, and political newcomer. Hensy says there's a lack of accountability with the state's voucher program, and it shouldn't grow anymore until those issues are dealt with. Her opponent is Brookfield Republican State Representative Dale Coinga. He announced his campaign after current GOP State Senator Leah Vukmir launched her bid for U.S. Senate. Coinga is an Army reservist, a certified public accountant, and an outspoken advocate for school vouchers.
It's parents who expand school choice. It's not legislators.
There are hints of the national political debate at this forum. Coinga warns against too much government involvement in healthcare.
Universal healthcare is going to put nearly the entire population on Medicaid. We cannot afford that.
Coinga says the solution to rising healthcare costs is more flexibility with the Medicare program. Hensy says universal healthcare could save people money in the long run.
Quality, affordable healthcare is a right, and we should have a healthcare system that meets our citizens' needs without placing the burden on employers.
The tone of national politics is also on the minds of voters at this forum. Mary McNulty lives in Waukesha and plans on voting for Coinga because of his experience. She says she's disheartened by how divided the country has become.
I'm scared about the what's happening in that we want to throw everybody out for somebody new, and I then think that we're so much further off from getting ahead of where we are at this moment.
Milwaukee resident Elena Calhoun plans to vote for Hensy. She says the election of Donald Trump made her more engaged.
The day after the inauguration, I took a bus to Washington, and I was at that women's march, and I haven't stopped since.
That's carried over into local races like the 5th State Senate District, one of a handful that could decide control over the Senate for the next 2 years. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Ximena Condi.
Coming up, documentaries are enjoying a surge in popularity. We'll look at some of the recent films that have people talking and find out what's changed in the entertainment landscape that's bringing documentaries to more and more audiences. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.